Greetings, and welcome to Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. I am one of your hosts, Kat, along with my lovely co-host, CC Love. Tonight, we will help lead you on a path of spiritual self-discovery toward divine universal connectivity of mind, body, and spirit. You will be given powerful yet achievable tools and techniques and how-to exercises help raise your frequency to attract only those people and experiences that are positive, matching your own vibration. A Mother Mary's sound healing will be transmitted at the beginning of the show. A powerful Mother Mary's sacred red rose healing will be offered to listeners. DC will share her channeled messages. Then we will both share our wildly awaited and popular What the Bleep moments that each of us has experienced on our own spiritual and metaphysical journey, along with an oracle card reading for the collective at the end of the show. So again, my name is Kat, and a brief bio about me. I'm a natural born intuitive empath, clairvoyant, and I've seen visions of Mother Mary and angels starting at a very young age. Since then, spiritual, metaphysical, and miracles are part of my everyday life. Along with a few conventional and graduate degrees, I'm also certified as a spiritual exploration, shamanic, meditation, mindfulness, and health and wellness coach. I'm a mental health ambassador, and I'm also certified as a Reiki practitioner and energy healing using visualization for manifestation. DC?
Beautiful, Kat. Hi, everyone. DC Love here. I was certified with the American Federation of Certified Psychics and Mediums in 2017. I'm a divine soul healer, an angel intuitive, a seer, a conscious channel, an animal communicator, a dream interpreter, and an ordained minister. My journey is different than most. It started with cookies flying off of countertops, my cell phone texting me, and then spirit sitting on me to get my attention, so I had no other choice but to listen. And all of this brought me to where I am today. I've also attended schools of higher learning, but in my case, the schools of higher learning were in heaven, and I went there several times. And I've acquired the knowledge that I've gained to help myself and then others. They say if you snooze, you lose. Well, in my case, I don't think it was true because every time I snoozed, I gained more knowledge. And I channel and I bring forth divine guidance and healing from Jesus, Mother Mary, the Ascendant Masters, the angels, my in-spirit dog, Ginger, and sometimes I even channel guidance from my not-so-divine guide, Joan Rivers. So I think that's enough about me, Kat. Maybe a little bit too much.
And that was just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, well, we don't want to scare anyone away, right?
No.
So that's the thing I'm hoping not to do. Okay. Okay, so I guess we're going to continue on with the Mother Mary sound healing. Okay,
great.
Hold on. I'm having a little bit technical difficulties, believe it or not, with my, with all my electrical devices, starting at the TV all the way down to my cell phone. So you'll have to bear with me. Okay. So right now, everyone, we're going to go forward and we're going to do the Mother Mary sound healing. And Kat and I will join Mother Mary. And we, too, will send healing to you. Are you ready, Kat?
I'm ready.
Okay. Wow. Kat, let me know when you're back, hon.
I don't even know where to start. That was so powerful.
It was. It was, like, so extremely powerful.
That was different. I just saw this.
It was different. Yeah, it was different than the other
one. But it was. You know, I saw, you know, just the... You know, it's just radiating light that goes out from around the world and all of humanity. And, you know, it's just going out, right, into the universe and through black holes and through just all of the universe and our planet, like I said, and all of humanity. And, you know, and then I, you know, started off you and I, Jesus, Mary, and our friend, we shot right up, and then we ended up on a beach and with everyone. But then I saw, it was like this it was just this vibrations coming down, almost like rain, right, over what looked like people who just really needed the healing, like almost like purgatory. You know, and people were, like, just trying to, like, drink it up, you know. And then, so, you know, it's people also, like, in the world that are just in dire need of healing on so many levels, whether it's, you know, spiritual, emotional, physical, mental, psychological, but whatever it is. And they're just, like, their arms up are just, like, yes, bring this to me. And then I saw God's hand come in and in prayer, like the praying hands, and he just blessed everything and everyone, and he just kept blessing, and in the end I heard God wins. So I just got to chill.
That's absolutely beautiful. I know for myself, I immediately was gone as soon as we started the healing with Mother Mary. And I felt like we went up almost like in a beam of light. And then we got to where Mother Mary was. And I saw this magnificent red heart. And we were there. And we were there, and I saw our friends with us. And
mm-hmm.
The divine was gathering around us. And then I saw, like I said, I saw this Mother Mary had this beautiful, magnificent, massive red heart. And I just felt mm-hmm. like she was filling it with love as she was filling us with love. And she said, there's
she
more,
was.
You know, that we need to share it with everyone else. So I, too, felt like we were asked to share this beautiful love with everyone else. And I could just feel like we were breathing through our hearts. And the love was going out all over the world, Kat.
That's exactly.
And as you
yes.
you know, whoever was in need of healing is who we were helping, it was absolutely beautiful.
They were getting it. And in the end, like I said, it was
God
definitely
wins, yeah.
God wins. That's the last thing.
Yeah, and it was beautiful. It just felt so, so powerful. I mean, the frequency just so, so intense that I could feel myself absolutely vibrating throughout the whole entire thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very, very powerful.
It was beautiful. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess it's time for the next part of our healing with the channeled healing with Mother Mary. Are you ready for that, Kat?
I am.
Okay. Kat and I connected with her beautiful friend, who at the time was in hospice care. As we each slept, we astral traveled at 3 a.m. to heaven, and we connected with Mother Mary. She walked with us on a magnificent beach where we saw beautiful white waves and amazing sand. And then Mother Mary walked into the water, which began to cover her beautiful blue dress. We were in amazement because she wasn't getting wet. I then began to channel this beautiful sacred red rose healing as we walked along the beach. I realized that this was in fact the eternal beach of heaven, and it was the perfect atmosphere to release what no longer serves us. My channeling was so synchronistic with Kat's beautiful channeled message to her friend. It mentioned sacred gardens with beautiful flowers that nourish our hearts, minds, and souls. At this point, Mother Mary gave each of us a sacred red rose, which she placed within our hearts. As you listen to the channeling, you too will have an opportunity to have a sacred red rose placed within your heart by Mother Mary. Just say yes silently as I continue to read the channeling. I want to explain first that healing doesn't have to take a lot of time, and this channeling is really significant. It's an amazing healing tool and very powerful. It will address all your issues, and it could be read for a family member to help them with their healing process or even gifted to a friend. Mother Mary has heard your prayers, and she knows the suffering that you have endured. She asks that you trust her divine healing abilities. We are now going to release and let go of all that no longer serves you, including cellular memory, emotional wounds inflicted on you as a child, limitations, ancestral roots that need healing, and pain that has traveled through family lines, as well as forgiveness that is needed presently. Beloveds, sit or lay comfortably, close your eyes, slowly breathe in through the nose and then out through the mouth. One more time, slowly breathe in through the nose and then out through the mouth. Now envision a beautiful sacred rose filled with unconditional love being placed within your heart by Mother Mary. As you breathe, imagine your breath going directly into your heart. And as you continue to breathe, the sacred rose begins to bloom. As it does, it brings with it heavenly blessings. These blessings are filled with divine healing, trust, and courage, and will help you with whatever circumstances you are facing. You now take a moment and you place your intentions into the beautiful sacred rose. You feel a warmth come upon your body as divine love and light fill every fiber of your being. This beautiful energy connects every cell in your body, and it brings healing where it is needed. you feel Mother Mary holding you in her heavenly embrace. And as she holds you, she continues to fill your entire being with divine and loving energy, which also heals any situation you are concerned about. Beloveds, this amazing healing will continue to take place on all levels, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, or even on a soul's level, until all healing is complete. You will feel Mother Mary's divine essence within your heart, and you will know that you have unlimited divine resources that are within you, and they're within your sacred rose, and they are available to you whenever you are needing them. Mother Mary's divine healing has no limitations. It can go wherever love can go. Love heals all wounds, and it removes all obstacles. I love you, Mother Mary. Mother Mary now has another little message before she steps back. My beloved children, I am standing with each of you at this moment. Some of you may have trouble understanding what you cannot see. Please have faith because I am with you right now, and I will remain by your side. Whatever you are needing, just ask. I will guide and protect each of you. Do not be afraid. I will encourage and support you as you go forward through life's challenges and the changes that are taking place. Beloved, you must believe that these changes are for your highest good. Release the despair and the doubt that have caused such heaviness within your sacred hearts. It is also time to give birth to the dreams that you have thought would never be possible. Beloveds, keep going in the direction of your dreams. You will have all the spiritual support that you are needing. This is a time of rebirth. Connect with the spiritual blessings that I have placed within the sacred rose of your heart. Beloveds, you are on the cusp of a new life, and I love you, Mother Mary.
Oh, that's a beautiful channeling.
Thank you, Kat. Yes, Mother Mary is just so amazing, and she's been with us. And I just feel like everything feels like it's getting stronger and stronger. It's just so amazing.
Yeah. There's definitely a shift happening.
I just feel like, you know, we talk, you know, quite often, and you know, we really realize what's going on, you know. So I'm so happy that we have the ability to be here and to help other people and maybe open them up, you know, to Mother Mary and the divine.
Right. Even if
so
they,
I feel
they're not, haven't been in the past, because
yes,
this cannot hurt. And it's not just for people who believe in Mary, it's people who want healing, it's people who need healing, it's people who are reaching for something bigger than themselves. Because again,
and the message I got yesterday, the message I want to say that I got yesterday was from Mother Mary and Jesus saying, our love and our help have nothing to do with religion.
No.
They're here to help.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone.
Everyone,
anyone that's in
yep.
need of help and healing, call upon them. Because
yes.
I know a lot of people feel like, you know, I don't maybe do what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm not, you know, religious enough. It has nothing to do with religion. It really doesn't.
No, because they don't care what religion you are. Because, like
no.
you said, it's not religion. And it never was.
No.
So keeping that, you know, in the back of their minds is important, I believe.
It is very important. I mean, they're all about love, you know. And we often
yes.
hear love is always, you know, love is always the answer, you know. And I truly
right.
feel it is.
And at the very
and especially
least, putting into a spiritual toolbox and using this as a daily practice along with their other daily practices. Is, I feel,
yes.
just, I mean, really, it's so important. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, and I feel like we were invited, you know, to be here and help people that maybe wouldn't consider, like, other ways to connect with the divine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel
absolutely
really blessed.
It's so true, and we have so many testimonies, you know, to prove that this is real, it's true. She's with us. She's helping. She's healing. She's performing miracles, and it's through her son. It's through God, right? That the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
they have given her this ability to help, and Jesus is the Son of God, so He's has all of these. He is everything that we need, right? And so you bring in the Trinity, the whole family here, and you can't lose. It's just so powerful that way. And this is what we do too on a daily basis. And bringing in the Holy Spirit is important too. But even if you just wanted to, you know, you listen and then you can just talk and see, just ask questions and see what comes to you, because you're going to be the one that you may not feel something initially, but eventually if you continue with it, you will, and you'll be able to answer your own questions. You know, decisions come easier. And it not only helps us who do it, it helps those around us. And they're, even if they don't do it, you see a change in them, and it's quite remarkable.
Oh, it is, Kat. It is. And I just heard, too, like, if you want to hear, you know, the voice of the divine, the only way you could hear it is in the silence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, in our world, there's so many sounds that we hear during the day. But in the silence is where we hear, you know, the guidance that we are needing, the guidance to help us to make the right choices, the guidance to connect with our soul, you know?
Right. Meditation is a powerful way to get to that silent place as well for our nature. We can do that ourselves in different ways. But you're right, it's the silence without distraction.
Yeah. And with meditation, I also like hear people say, oh, my gosh, I have ants in my pants. I can't meditate. Well, you could just sit and listen to, like, a very soothing music, binaural beat. Mm-hmm. So many different ways that you can meditate. Some people, you know, like to draw. They like to paint. And for doing that, they're actually able to channel the guidance they are needing as well. I feel it's really beautiful.
Yes. As my dogs
taking
are walking in the back.
Nature.
Sorry.
Yeah, taking a walk in nature, that's another way to, you know, connect with the divine. And out in nature, everything is magnified, in fact, which is really beautiful.
It is. It is.
There's so many ways.
Yeah. Nature is really beautiful. Nature and hiking and just anything to do with nature, wherever you are. And that is where you hear the wind, you hear the leaves blowing, you feel, you know, you just feel a presence of beauty of nature and all that is involved in there, and everything's alive and everything is, you know, we're breathing in this amazing energy. And you know, just sit there by. If you have water nearby, it's perfect. You can envision water. You can take, you know, the visualization is very real, and you can, you know, again, it's just like you're at the beach if that's where you want to be, while in nature or outside or inside your home, whatever that is. But nature, you know, if you have a babbling brook or you have, even if it's a retention pond, you know, that has water in it, you know, it's anything. And, you know, but bodies of water are really important. Martin. But also,
they are.
Even if there isn't, even if there isn't, you have, you know, every rock, you know, every tree, every stone, you know, has a vibration and a frequency, and, you know, and you're just flower, every weed, every blade of grass, you know, it has a spirit, it has, you know, it has a consciousness. And so that's, so it's not surprising that we feel, come out feeling just refreshed and regenerated and just, you know, feeling better, you know, putting
definitely.
Our face in the, you know, putting our bare feet in the grass, I do it every day, whether there's
yes.
snow on the ground.
Yes, yes.
Every single day. And then I let go of every single day what, you know, isn't serving me, whatever that might be, if it's something in particular. And I just send that down to Mother Earth to transmute it to light and love. And
beautiful.
That really does.
Oh, that's really, yep. really beautiful.
Sometimes we get blindsided by people.
With that,
right?
with
and
that
so,
being
go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, Kat.
No, I'm just saying sometimes you don't know what's going to happen during the day. That's why, you know, those of us that are, you know, spiritualists, I'll say, you know, we do the protection over ourselves, you know, every single day, because there's people, it doesn't mean they're, that have energy that, it's not ours, and that can seep into our fields, it can seep into our chakras, it can seep in, you know, and we don't want that. It doesn't mean these people are bad people, but, you know, we're in a world where we don't know what, you know, they have been through or who they have been around or, you know, it's just we're, you know, in a space that is open to, negative energies from other people. And like I said, it doesn't mean that they're bad people. This could be our friends. It could be sometimes family. It could be anybody, you know, a person in the grocery store, right? So you can have the best of conversations with them, for instance. But sometimes it just, if you're feeling a certain way that's really, you know, not characteristics of yourself, then consider just cleansing yourself, you know, or sending that energy down to Mother Earth, because it no longer serves, it's not serving you, right? So that's what I do. And I think that's very important to do as a daily practice.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful, Kat. And with that being said, we actually have Archangel Ariel coming in. And Archangel Ariel is the guardian of animals. She has a beautiful kinship with lions and birds. And she also reminds us that healing in nature, as Kat said, and everything that is in the light. So she loves that we mentioned nature today and being outside and healing. So she is entering the room. And as she enters the room, you begin to notice a beautiful pink mist. And it starts to surround your entire being. She hands you a beautiful piece of pink quartz, and you immediately feel your heart resonating with the loving energy of this beautiful crystal. Archangel Ariel asks you to sit in the chair next to her, and you look at the chair, and you notice it's a beautiful, fluffy pink cloud. And the moment that you sit down, you feel unconditional love all around you. She then begins to speak. I, Archangel Ariel, greet you today with a message of love. Love has no beginning or no end. Beloved ones, feel the love that I bring and visualize it permeating every fiber of your being. Let it fill your entire body. This is love in its purest form. Love that resides in each of you. As you connect with this beautiful energy, allow it to engulf your heart. Trust and believe what you are feeling. You notice your heart is so filled with love that there is no room for anything but love. Let this feeling continue from you and keep it going throughout eternity, reaching the entire universe. You now see everything from a different perspective. The pink mist fills your body from your head all the way down to your toes, and you are completely overflowing with this amazing loving energy. Archangel Ariel slowly fades away, but her unconditional love remains. Before she disappears completely, she asks that you always choose love. So that was something that was inspired again by you, Kat, by the words that you said. And we have another angel in the wings wanting to give a short message. And that angel is the angel Yedidiah. And Angel Yedidiah is here to help each of you celebrate your life. The splendid angel of light wishes you to know how very much your life positively impacts others. And your service to the light is recognized and it is honored by your angelic guides and by the one who loves you most of all. You make a glorious and joyful difference in the world, beloveds, and you are so loved. We are given a daily mantra. On this day, I honor my birth and my purpose for being, which is love. Angel Yedidiah is here to help with any transition you are going through, whether it is career, relationship, or becoming the person you were meant to be. He will be right by your side, supporting and empowering you all the way. And here is a message that I channeled from Angel Yedidiah. Greetings, beloved ones. I, Angel Yedidiah, come before you today to assist you on your journey through life with compassion and courage. I will help you with any transition you are facing. Just ask. It can be career. It can be maybe family issues. It could be bravely going forward without fear and without judgment. Beloved, you will move forward like a phoenix, rising stronger each time you face a challenge. You will rise again and you will shine gloriously. As I accompany you, anxiety and limiting beliefs will fade, and you will feel that you are renewed with hope and joy. You will transform and become the person that you were meant to be. Please focus on your desires, as together we will co-create a life, one filled with fulfillment and happiness. Allow God and myself to help you to release any idea of separation. As you surrender and you trust, you will move confidently forward on your divine mission. Be ready and willing to receive our help and all the blessings the universe wishes to bestow upon you. I am Angel Yedidiah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I love that one. I love both of them because Ariel, I called her in earlier today.
Wow, amazing. Wow.
Yeah, I call her in all the time. Yeah. She's environment.
Oh, definitely.
She's happiness. She's happiness. She's joy. She's all those things.
Really is, yes.
Nature, yeah, she's all these things. And so I love her energy. And yeah. And I have a pink horse in my hand. After I had it with me. So.
Oh, my gosh, that is so cool.
Pretty synchronistic, right? You
that
can't
is
make
so beautiful.
Stuff.
Yeah.
It just communicates very clearly. Yeah, even, like, before the show, because I know that these are coming up, right? So,
yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. They were beautiful.
Before I turn over the airwaves to you, I just want to mention that Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality is one of the shows that the Sacred Embers has on Blog Talk Radio. We also have Enter the Light, and I believe that show aired yesterday. It's on Sundays. We have another show, Angel Answers, that airs on Wednesdays at 7 p.m., and we do have another one that comes up occasionally, and I believe that one is called The Lighthouse. So The Lighthouse, that show is not a regular show, but it does show up intermittently. So that's just a little bit about the Sacred Embers Network. that you could find on Blog Talk Radio. And you can go through and you can listen to all of the shows that have previously aired. They're all in the archives. And the energy, you know, that we transmitted today with Bridging the Gap between Science and Spirituality and Mother Mary's healings, when you listen to those healings, even if it's in the archives, that energy is still there for you to enjoy, and it will have the same effect as if you listen to it live.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, Kat.
Okay. So thank you for all of that, Cece. That was beautiful. I just love everything. Yes, you're amazing. And
you know, before Kat, you talk, you have to tell everyone how we connected.
How do we connected?
We had a crazy blonde from the other side.
Yes, it was Joan.
Yep, and she told you to kind of wait, right?
She told me so. Little bit, like I just kept hearing call DC, and then it was like, call DC already, and it was Joan Rivers, and I was like, fine, I will call her. So that's really how we connected, isn't it? That's the funniest search I've ever thought about that for a really long time. Yeah, and so that kind of.
But we have a crazy divine connection, Kat. So
we do for sure.
Okay, so let's turn it over to you.
Okay, all right. That's funny that you mentioned that. All right, so here's we're going to talk about just a topic that's very interesting to, you know, just millions and millions of people around the world, and that's near-death experiences and life after death. So we've all heard of near-death experiences, correct? And at this point, there are thousands, millions of people who have died young and old from different cultures, countries, and belief systems. And what these people, they could be children, adults, scientists, physicians, medical practitioners, I mean, priests, ministers, other religious leaders, atheists, like, you can go on and on and on and on and on and on. And they've all reported the similar experiences. So if you think about that, even if you are a disbeliever, and we're just giving you the information to make a decision, you know, on your own. But it's just if everyone is coming back with not exactly the same experience, but extremely similar experiences, you have to wonder what's going on, right? And so, like I said, while no two near-death experiences are the same, there are recurrent characteristics, like characteristic features that are commonly observed. And some of these are, for instance, include a perception of seeing and hearing apart from their physical body, passing into or through a tunnel of light, tense and positive emotions, encounters with deceased loved ones, or other loving beings, and the choice to return to Earth. So the Near Death Experience Research Foundation found evidence through thousands and thousands of interviews and studies that life does exist beyond the moment of physical death, their consciousness, right? So they state that from a medical perspective and logically, it should not be possible, yet the evidence shows different. So like I said, you know, millions of people, you know, they have gone through this experience and have given self-reports describing, you know, seeing ongoing events from, for instance, a location apart from their physical body while while their physical body is physically dead, right? Literally like an out-of-body experience looking down on their body. Some have reported floating above their body, looking down as they were being resuscitated. They report people were wearing, not just in the operating room, but, you know, outside in the waiting room, what they said. They're reporting passing through walls and reporting back what doctors have said, nurses, family members. Again, even if they weren't right there in that operating room and so on. So it's not surprising to hear that Holden, and she reviewed 89 published scholarly articles and books on thousands of near-death experiences and concluded that of the cases reported and reviewed, 92% were completely accurate. And these studies were then later investigated, because this is a big topic, right? So these studies were later investigated by other scientists who concluded the same result. And interestingly, I found that many investigations have been done on these near-death experiences with young children. And that's important because at an early age, children are less likely to have established religious beliefs, cultural understandings about death, or even awareness of what death is. And in one study, they found 613 children under the age of 5 years old who had near-death experiences. It was found that these little ones had the same type of experiences, often going to heaven and being met by, you know, an animal, their favorite animal, or, you know, a loved one, grandmother or so, that you know, or Jesus. And on the other side, before returning to the physical body on earth. And in one article, and I quote, near-death experiences in children will have they'll be limited to their vocabulary, right? So, but it doesn't really matter because it's clear that at the time of death, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter because they can communicate in different ways. They can draw when they come back, and then they, at a later time, will come back as they get older and do a self-report and describe what they have seen. So it's really, even in, like I said, like these pre-linguistic children, they're too little, right? They better come back and, you know, when they could communicate, and it's reported the same thing. So many studies have also been done on blind people. I thought this was interesting, who had these near-death experiences, who reported highly visual experiences consistent to others having near-death experiences. So they could not see in their physical life. However, they could visually see when they died. So how is that possible, right? So I could go on and on, but for the sake of time, I'll stop here, only to say that there is a multitude of compelling evidence showing that following a near-death experience, there are significant changes that are commonly observed, such in people, such as an all-knowingness, more of an interest and curiosity about the meaning of life, more acceptance of others. People felt more loving towards themselves and others, more joyful and empathetic, knowing that our energy never dies, as we are all connected in this divine universal consciousness. And here's just one example of millions. He received 22 million views on his testimony of his near-death experience. And his name is Scott Drummond. And he was 20 years old when he was pronounced dead for 20 minutes. So that is a very long time. Because most of these near-death experiences, quite honestly, are not, they're, you know, it could be 10 seconds, it could be, you know, it could be a few, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, but you rarely hear of 20 minutes. But anyway, when he was 28, he was pronounced dead, like I said, for 20 minutes and came back to talk about it. This physical death was related to a skiing injury where he needed surgery, which just went haywire. He talked about what he saw and how it changed his life. He said he had an out-of-body experience when he floated above his physical dead body, being down on it, and everyone working frantically to bring him back, as well as what everyone was saying. He said he was met by a divine being. He didn't know who it was, but he knew it was divine. He felt the love and was taken to a beautiful place. He was then given a life review. After this, he explained how he was drawn to a large white cloud, and once there, a very, very large, powerful, strong arm reached out for his arm. God Drummond then heard it wasn't his time yet, as he had much work to do back on Earth. He then states the next thing is he's back in his body. He reported he did not want to leave, but after the life review, he realized he said, more loving once he was back in his body, compassionate, and unafraid of crossing over when his time actually does come, knowing his soul, consciousness, just never dies. His energy is ongoing, and he is going to a place that he referred to as home. And I just thought that was a very beautiful story. 22 million views is a lot. So people were very interested in that story. Do you see? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's beautiful. I've done a little bit of reading about near-death experiences, and from what I've read, people usually feel a sense of being out of their body, a feeling of being at peace. They may meet beings of light, loved ones, as you said, and pets. And I have often heard about going through a tunnel toward the light. And I read that the brain undergoes decreased oxygen levels, and this may be, in fact, connected with having a near-death experience. And these people, as you said, may have a life review. They may feel that they are in another realm or world. I personally had a near-death experience. I was only 5 or 6 when I had my near-death experience. And my mom explained to me that I had a really high fever. My skin was turning gray. I was laughing hysterically, sweating profusely, and at that point, I didn't recognize anyone. I didn't know what was going on. So my mom called our doctor, who said to get me to the hospital immediately. I arrived there shortly after the phone call, and our doctor met my mom and myself at the hospital ER, and upon examining me, he told my mother that I would have died within 30 minutes. So I spent the next 31 days in the hospital in an oxygen tent. I don't remember anything during this time. I was in a private room. The only thing I remember is I woke up and I was in a ward with a lot of children. I guess this is where they moved me after I was on the road to recovery. And then I was able to have some playtime with the other children in the ward. We were all allowed to get out of our beds for a short time, and at time they also gave us like a little snack as well. But there was a little redheaded girl that was right across from me. Her bed was right across from mine. Her name was Marjorie. We bonded. We had a really special connection, and we just loved playing with each other. But one day we were all laying in our beds in the ward, and I looked across the room, and I saw Marjorie in her bed. All of a sudden, I saw blood coming from her ears and her nose, and I heard the word leukemia in my head. At that age, I never heard that word before. The next thing I knew, the nurses rushed in, and they closed the curtain around Marjorie's bed, and when the curtain was open again, Marjorie was gone. So I remember getting out of the hospital shortly after all of this occurred, but I've never to this day forgotten Marjorie. And I also feel from my experience, in some way it helped me to have an inner knowing and may have been an awakening of sorts, Kat.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned life reviews. My experience is so crazy compared to others. I had a life review decades ago, and this review took place right before a family member of mine passed away. I told him about my experience, and at that time, I didn't even know it was called a life review. And then I questioned him, and I asked, have you ever had this kind of experience? He replied, no, and he seemed a little overwhelmed by the whole thing. So during my life review, I saw what looked like a slideshow of my life and all that I had experienced from birth to death. I was shown my interactions with others as well as important events in my life. And I could hear a voice say, well, how do you feel about that interaction? And I remember responding, I feel really good. But at other times, you know, I would comment, I think maybe I could have done a little bit better. But it was wonderful seeing, you know, my husband, who I married, and, you know, we started a beautiful family with two sons. But then I saw sadness where relatives I dearly love had passed away. And the memories that were shown to me even included our fur babies. And I was also shown myself while my mom was pregnant. And she and my dad were having marital issues at the time. And I then saw myself standing next to my mom, which I realized it was my soul standing next to my mother. And at that moment, I was given a choice, you know, do you want to stay or you want to go? And right at that moment, my mother's nightgown caught on fire. And I could hear and see my father yelling, your nightgown's on fire. He ran over to my mom. He was across the room, and he actually ripped off my mother's nightgown. So even with all of this going on, I decided to stay. So the next thing I remember was being born and hearing, it's time to cry now. That's what babies do. So I let out an intense, loud cry.
Wow. What a story.
I mean, I've had like experiences that are so different. And, I mean, like my whole, like this whole journey has been so amazing. Truly, truly amazing.
That is one of the most profound, amazing stories I've ever heard.
Oh. Well, but, you know what? I had the opportunity as well, Kat. I was able to go to heaven. And two of these times were with family members. One was with my brother-in-law. And while I was in heaven, I saw these amazing colors. It was a bright, sunny day. And when I say bright sunny day, you can't even explain what I saw in words because it was more beautiful than anything I've ever seen in my life. My brother-in-law was washing a beautiful antique car. The sun was shining down. And the colors that surrounded us, they were beyond my belief. And I heard within, like, these are colors only in heaven, and they were divinely created, and I feel that they were. And my brother-in-law spoke to me and said, look, I'm completely healed. So here I'm trying to listen to what he said, but I could not keep my eyes from wandering in every direction and seeing all the beautiful colors that we don't have on earth. I mean, it was truly an amazing experience.
Wow.
Truly amazing.
Beautiful.
So I've had some crazy experience.
I'm glad you said yes. You wanted to.
Well, sure.
Here.
Oh my gosh.
But
weird thing was, like, I was only like I said, 5 or 6, and after I got better and everything, I felt like people of all ages would ask me questions when they needed help. You know. So it was just really amazing.
They were drawn to you. These are light for you.
Yeah, it was really amazing.
You were a light worker at birth. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, this subject is so, it's just so, so amazing, Kat, you know?
Truly
amazing.
Is, and just to
you know, I just gave a brief, really, synopsis of that. But you telling that story really gives listeners the opportunity to understand more deeply and fully what this is all about, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I encourage everyone to do, you know, their own research and talk about their near-death experiences as well, and experiences like, you know, that are personal. And because people sometimes, I feel like, hold on to that stuff, things that they are afraid to share.
Had so many of those experiences, you know, and it's just amazing. And then here we go through our earthly life here, and most of the time you really don't have an opportunity to share, you know.
Right. So you're helping people though when you share, because they feel like they're not alone, you know. And
well,
you know
what
you said earlier, it doesn't have to be exactly the same, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like we all have, like, you know, a connection, and our, you know, our experiences are a little bit different, but I mean, there's something beautiful there to share with every experience that we have, you know?
Absolutely.
And I just want to share another little, I've spoken to you quite often about my grandmother, my godmother. Well, my godmother was in the hospital, and at the time she was in a coma, and she was almost 90, and she briefly came out of the coma, because she was worried about me. So my aunt helped her to get into a wheelchair. She wheeled her down this big hallway, and at the end of the hallway was a payphone. So she dialed my home number, and she put my godmother on the phone. And my godmother said, "Hi, you know, I just wanted to make sure that you're okay." And I was like, "Oh, my gosh, yes, I'm fine." So we ended up having the most amazing, beautiful conversation, which lasted almost an hour.
Wow.
Finally, you know, I said goodbye to my amazing godmother and to my aunt, and thanked my aunt for, you know, taking the time to bring my godmother, you know, all the way down the hallway to the payphone. So my aunt, you know, told me that my godmother had gotten back to the room, and there waiting for her was an amazing steak dinner. So she ate this amazing dinner, and then she turned to my aunt and said, "Do you see those beautiful flowers on the wall?" And my godmother loved flowers, and I would send her flowers every opportunity that I could. And my aunt looked at the wall, and she shook her head no. Moments later, my godmother went back into the coma that she was in before connecting with me. And then a short time later, after that, she passed away.
Wow. Wow.
So I've had so many experiences, yeah. But people that connect with us spiritually, they always say they see this strong lady with dark hair and the most red lipstick on, and that's my godmother watching over me.
I love it. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It makes you feel good. That it makes me personally feel good, too, that I have loved ones watching over me. And I can feel them, you know, and challenging situations. They've, you know, come in dreams. They've come many different ways, you know. You feel that presence and just a knowingness that you're not alone and you're being watched over, you know, with someone that now has the ability to truly help us in a way that, you know, God does, right? And so...
Oh, it truly is, Kat.
Yeah. So...
really beautiful.
So did you want to move on to some... Because we could go on and on. There's so many
you know what?
Different...
I'm just wondering. I'm looking at the time. It's only 8 o'clock. Do you want to just... talk a little bit about life after death? We've covered near death.
Yeah.
And maybe just...
Sure.
And, of course, we want to hear, you know, a little bit about your personal experiences as well.
Yeah. So
honestly, I just, you know, in terms of life after death, again, there's skeptics all over the place. Really have a personal experience with life after death, whether it's, you know, regardless, like it's a personal experience in my instance here. But just to give the listeners like just a brief intro into what really is life after death, right? Where do you go? What happens? So I just looked up a real quick explanation, and what life after death, how it is explained in one definition, is a purported existence in which the essential part of an individual's stream of consciousness, the/personality, continues to exist after the death of their physical body. So that made very good sense to me. That's why I chose that. But, you know, personal testimonies, I have just so many of them in terms of, you know, a friend who just passed. She is very communicative with both DC and I. But upon right before her passing, we knew that it was a very short time before that would happen. And I asked, only say like 1, 2, 3 words, and then she couldn't say any more. And I remember asking her, what is our symbol? Like, you know, if one of us goes first, because she could still hear. She was still here to the very end. And I said, what is that? Like, if one of us, you know, crosses or passes first, how are we going to know that, you know, it's one of us trying to communicate to the other? And so what will you come back as? Like, so I will know it to you. And she literally said, you know, very low, but she said, yellow butterfly. And I really was shocked because she had cardinals all over her home. She had cardinals that she didn't even food like four times in her backyard that were there all the time. I don't know where these cardinals were coming from, but they would just land in her backyard, you know, and everywhere. Like, having a furniture, like, it was crazy. It was just amazing. And so she had always said that it was, you know, her mom and her dad. It was her father and her husband's father, I believe. That's who I think that those two birds were to her. So that's why I thought she was going to say a cardinal. So anyway, she tells me yellow butterfly. I don't tell anybody. It was between her and I. And so now we're at the service, and the cards, the mass cards that were being given, you know, set down. And when I finally looked at it, it was a yellow butterfly. So I thought, thank you, you know. And everyone else had butterflies, but they were different types of butterflies. Mine was a yellow butterfly. So that was just one way for communicating, but she does come back. I see her beautiful face. I see her smile. I hear her talking. So, you know, in that sense, and again, you see, you hear her too, and she comes back flashing lights, and you can tell your own story about her. But that's just one thing. But spirits move around things as well. And I know that this one time, for instance, my cousin had just passed, and it was literally days. And there was like papers that were in the cabinet, and they were all over the dining room table. And I'm, you know, kind of like, you know, like asking, like, what are you guys doing? Like, who messed up all these papers and why? Right. And here I'm cleaning them up, 'cause it's just like odd. Like that never had happened. Right. And
here, I'm going through, and I found his mask card. And also, there was a picture of him in the paper, his obituary that I saw, and a picture of him. So I knew that that was him trying to communicate to me. And he always had, like, a saying, like, if things got too, like up to your neck, like, as far as whatever, he's like, get out, you know, just let it go or get out. And so whatever was happening at the time, you feel like that was a message, but it was definitely him. And that's happened quite a few times with pictures of people, just finding them during a time that I'm, you know, either thinking of them or something's going on that I needed that reinforcement and that love, you know, that they were there, knowingness that they were there. And also in dreams, like, this is how I know they're just, there's so many instances. But for instance, when my aunt had died, and she had called me like twice, three times, and I just didn't get a chance to call her back. And the next thing I know, she passed. Well, I was so filled with guilt at that time. And so shortly thereafter, she came to me in a dream, and she was dressed in white, and she was by a white band, and she was dressed in white, and she had her arms out to me, you know, for a hug, and just said, it's all good, it's okay, you know, don't feel that way, I love you. And she's smiling, and, you know, that was just a real burden that was taken off of me when she did that for me. So I still thank her. I just got a chill. And just recently, telling that story, I was at my beach home, and I was going through just moving pictures around, and I opened the drawer thing in it, and I found pictures of her. So maybe she knew I was going to talk about it today. I don't know. But then also I had an experience with my one grandmother, where I was in my, I think I brought this up the last show, but it's important because it's just real. And I was by myself on my birthday because I had a report due for work, and it literally had to be in. It was a time stamp. And so it needed to just be done. And it was like, I was by myself, like I said, there was no windows in my office, but I just had to stay to get it done. All right, I was the only one in my office, and all of a sudden, I feel like my hair moved, it's like a breeze or something, like my hair, like, moved, like there was a little wind. What was that, right? So, like, there wasn't really a vent near me either. My door is closed. I don't know where it came from, but I just kind of, you know, didn't pay attention too much. Then a breeze literally came in and papers flew off my desk onto the floor. And then I was like, oh my goodness, what's happening? And then I smelt my grandmother's perfume. So I knew it was her. Just hanging with me, just saying, I'm here with you. It's your birthday. Happy birthday. You're not alone tonight. And that was a beautiful moment. I have my other grandmother. I remember being given an opportunity to something that I wasn't just, it was a great opportunity, but I wasn't sure if I should take it or not. And she came to me in a dream, and she said, she told me to do it. She goes, why not? She goes, do it. She goes, just take it. And I did. And I'm glad I did. And then I just, you know, like, I've had, you know, temperature, you know, changes where you know that someone's there, you know, where it just goes from normal 72 degrees to like 30 degrees very quickly, where your body's frozen. That's, you know, and then I have some experience. I feel like it would take all night to talk about it. But, you know, in hearing voices, your name, you know, and I've heard I love you. Number one, I believe, was God speaking to me, because I couldn't replicate that voice. Even if I tried, it was just so, so, so deep. And it was a, I don't know how to honestly explain it. I'm sorry. It was just, but I was just laying there, and you talked about being in silence. I was in bed, and I was just like, you know, I was wide awake. I was wide awake, but it was silent for, you know, a couple minutes. So I was laying there, and this voice came out of nowhere, and it was so deep, like no human could replicate it. It was like that. So, but anyway, I have seen and I hear from friends that have crossed over to me, and it's a conversation. Like, it's just a conversation, and you know, but you know, they also, like, after that, so, like, you know, as far as loved ones too coming in. I mean, you read about the typical. There's butterflies, dragonflies, ladybugs, talk to birds, you know, you can feel their presence. But I feel like a lot of times people sometimes miss the opportunity because they're not really looking for it. But if you stop to, you know, because our lives are so busy, you know, and when you really do stop and you feel intuitively that something was meant to be observed or felt, which in telling you, that's your loved one telling you, I'm here, and again, you're not alone, you know, and it could be an animal as well. You know, I've had experience with a dog that I lost, and he came to me in a cloud, and I have that picture, and I had been thinking about him. I had gone to a service just for pets who had crossed over, and I, you know, and then shortly after that, I went down to a pier on the water to meditate, and as I'm meditating, something just caught my attention, like to look up, and there was a cloud, and in that cloud was my German Shepherd, and I have that picture. So that was just the whole time that I thought that my Shepherd at the time was there for a different reason, because just for different reasons, right? I never thought he was really there I know he's there for me. All the animals are there for all of us. But I was told later that particular German Shepherd was there for me to take on any anxieties or anything that was going through that, you know, to just help me to get through certain things. And I, you know, so that was really beautiful. And like I said, that was something that when I saw that in the cloud, I was like, oh my goodness. So they come to us in different ways, and I can go on, but I'm going to let you go ahead, DC.
That was beautiful, Kat. I've recently lost a dear friend, and we were friends for over 40 years. And her daughter had contacted me last Sunday morning telling me that her mom had passed a few hours before. And I, of course, was, you know, filled with sadness, and I began to, you know, look at some pictures of her. And as I was looking at one of the pictures, now this was hours after she passed, only a few hours, I'm looking at one of the pictures, and I heard, I look quite astute, don't I? And I looked, I said, I'm not sure. I said, I'll get back to you on that because I've got to look up that word. So here I am. I'm looking through the dictionary, and I found out that the word she used, astute, meant to be mentally sharp, clever, and have the ability to notice and understand things clearly. So I got back to her. I said, yeah, I agree with you. You are, in fact, quite astute. So a few days later, my friend gave me another word, and it was subversive. Again, I had to go back at the dictionary and look it up. And here's what I found, and it was a really funny example, making a vegetarian eat bacon by tricking her. And I laughed so hard, and I said, you know what? I never had to trick you where bacon is concerned. It was one of your main food groups. So I think my beautiful friend is expanding my vocabulary in a very creative way from the other side. And then at one point, she even mentioned that she would send me messages via electricity. Well, she did. She certainly did. She knocked out my friend's computer, knocked her offline while we were chatting. And then my computer screen went completely, it was black a few times. So after all the craziness, when I finally, you know, was able to get my computer working again, I heard her say to me, you know, I'm so proud of you, and I love what you do spiritually. And she was saying, you know, she's going to be watching me from the other side, along with a few others. And she thanked me for helping her family and herself while she was on Earth. I, in fact, introduced her to the angels. And now she's basically one of my beautiful angels from the other side. And one of the funny synchronicities, I went to church for her funeral service. Her older son had gotten remarried, and I had an opportunity to introduce myself to his wife. She was wonderful. And I was telling her about, you know, all the different things we did and all the different places we ate. And she said, oh, my gosh, I think I finally realized where my husband's addiction to bacon came from. So she surely did. And it's just so funny because she was a very avid reader. She loved to read. And for some reason, she feels like she wants to expand my vocabulary. So today, right before the show, she said, I'm a very prolific wordsmith. And she does use her words very skillfully. And then she gave me, like, another word. I'm like, Joan, you know, like, give me a little time here. Cut it out, you know. I have a show in a little while. So she did give one of my members of my group another reading for me, and I felt better because she, too, had to look up a word that Joan had given her. It was erase, I believe, and it's a sense of temperament. And if someone, you know, does or say something you don't like, it's being hot-tempered. And my friend was laughing. She said, I looked at the picture you sent. She seems like the one with fire, and you were very cool, and you balance each other out. And she just said, you know what? You know, Joan said to her, you know, that I have a strong sense of determination and, you know, keep standing up for whatever, you know, I want, even if it pisses people off. So I started to laugh. And she's saying, you know, she's so happy to connect with myself, but now she has a very easy time connecting with all of us, Kat. She was a member of our Sacred Embers group, and now she just, you know, she can pop from one to the next and connect with us. But the really sweet thing she did is my friend was drinking a cup of coffee, and she did that before she started, you know, the reading. I do that all the time. And one of the things that I start laughing was my friend handed me a virtual cup of coffee, and it had Italian sweet cream in the coffee, and that's my favorite.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking I have double trouble here because I have two Joans now that are driving me crazy, and I feel like Joan Rivers is, like, teaching the other one, you know, little tricks of the trade, per se, you know? My husband had mentioned that he finally saw my friend's obituary in the paper. You know, he said, I saw the write-up. And then I'm standing next to my husband, and out of my mouth I hear, oh, the heck with that. I wanted my name in lights. And he looked at me and he said, "What?" I said, "I don't know." And I walked away. And I said, "You know what? I'm going to tape my mouth shut with masking tape. And this is for the two Jones, you know." I'm like, "You guys are so bad. Oh, my gosh. They're terrible." But with Joan Rivers, we connected in 2014. And she wanted me to give a message to Melissa and Cooper. And I didn't know who Cooper was at the time, but it was her grandson. And I said, "I'm a little bit out of the loop. You better find somebody closer." And a couple hours later, she said, "Listen, biatch, just deliver the message." So that's how Joan and I started to connect. And Joan is standing there, and she wants to say hello to everyone. And she's saying, "One of the things women do not want to find in their stockings, gentlemen, on Christmas morning is anything named Gia. It's like saying we wish you a Merry Christmas. Really, guys? I'm on the naughty list, and I regret nothing. A virgin birth? Okay, I can believe it. But finding three wise men? Get real. Remember, ladies, every diva needs a wine break. I would have wine in my coffee cup. If you're asking, you know, if it's too early to drink wine, you're an amateur. We can't be friends. I could be a morning person. My coffee maker brewed wine. And when someone asks, where's your Christmas spirit? Is it wrong to point them to the liquor cabinet? I truly feel that I'm here to help others in a divine way. I truly do, people. With a sense of humor, of course. It all started with DC. I'm her not-so-divine guide. After I transitioned, as she said, I told her, listen, biatch, just deliver the message. I've even taught her to flip the bird using both hands. She went to the doctor complaining after waking up, and she couldn't bend her finger. He replied, it's probably from overuse. And I could hear her say, thanks, Joan. So remember, when life gives you lemons, keep calm and make lemonade. Unless, of course, you've been talking to me, Joan Rivers. In that case, find someone whose life has given them vodka and have a party. I'm a bad influence. Yes, I am. And damn, I'm fun. May all of your regifting go undetected, people, this Christmas. This year, instead of presents, I'm giving everyone my opinion, so get ready. I can feel the excitement. Remember, before you tell Santa, I can explain, ask him first what he already knows. And may this Christmas find you surrounded by those you love. And don't forget to ask Santa to leave his credit card under the tree. It's the small things that matter most. Well, I've got to run, but I love you all. Happy holidays, Joan.
That's adorable.
Welcome to my world, right?
Right up your alley there. It's divinely crazy. Yes, that's right up your alley. Funny.
Oh, gosh.
There you go. There's another one. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's insanity, honest to goodness. But I asked Archangel Michael to not let them, you know, just come out of my mouth when they do that kind of thing. I mean, it's crazy. I remember once being at a seminar, and they were talking about, you know, your retirement and different things. And the only reason that my husband and I went is because we love the restaurant and we love the steaks, you know. So here we are, we're having this, you know, delicious dinner. And we're listening to everything, you know, the gentleman had to say. And this gentleman said, you know, you don't want to be like Stevie Wonder, lost in the dark with your finances. And out of my mouth came Joan Rivers, the poor son of a bitch. No one ever told him he was wearing a macrame plan hanger on his head. Well, lo and behold, the gentleman that was giving the seminar looked at me, and I looked at him, and both of us had our eyes hanging out of our head. He said, 10-minute break. So he went over to the bar, and I went over to the bar. We each had double shots, and we came back to our seats. But before I left, I said to him, I bet you will never use that line about Stevie Wonder again. And he didn't talk to me after that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine 1 minute you're talking to Jesus, and you turn your head, and there's Joan Rivers?
Yes, because it happened.
Yeah, we've been connected it long enough. You would believe it. I don't know if everybody would believe it, but, yep, you believe it.
And you could see her face too. You could see her face when you
talked
about her. You know, like, it's just
even have
funny.
Conversations, Kat, you and I, and things that we really can't discuss on the radio.
We just can't. And
no, we can't.
Impressive is just, you know, you just can't make it up. I mean, some things you just can't make up, you know.
Oh, you can't.
Stuff. And she had an experience herself, remember, with someone in an apartment that she lived in, and she could not move it. Time, and it was you can tell me if I, you know, if I'm on the right track here, but as I recall, she had a beautiful apartment in Manhattan, I believe that's where it was, and when she moved in, she was by herself, and all of a sudden things started happening, you know, and so she finally was like, look, I, you know, I'm by myself here and I need, you know, I can't move. Like, I put all the money I had into this place. Like, I can't, like, I will share it with you, but, like, I can't, like, I can't move. I need to stay here. And so what happened was she ended up getting someone to come in and, you know, she
a voodoo
like,
priestess. It was
like
a voodoo priestess
in the morning. Yeah, it was 2:30 in the morning, and she actually knocked on her neighbor's doors in the building she was living in, and every single person that she asked if she wanted this, you know, priest to like come in and help, if they were having the same type of experiences, and everyone was. And so, like, can you imagine just someone knocking on your door at 2:30 in the morning, whenever it was, and everyone was like, yes, 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 please help us. Well, then later, though, he said she was downstairs, like, where, I don't know if there was, you know, the place, storage area, and she found this picture behind something, and she pulled it out, and here, it happened to be the woman that lived in her apartment that had just been kind of discarded. So she took it and she cleaned it up and she hung it up, and that woman came to her and they were able to work it out. I believe that's what happened at the end. Is that the same story that you remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, her apartment, I believe the ghost was the former owner. And
yeah.
Joan had a penthouse. She had actually had a penthouse. I mean, it was gorgeous, and it was a former owner. But I read somewhere that it was a voodoo priestess is the one that actually got rid of the ghost, you know, or helped her to, you know, stay with Joan, you know.
Or cross server.
But
whatever.
I just, that was, so amazing. My goodness. And I don't know, it was something like maybe like $38 million for this penthouse.
Yeah, it was
unbelievable.
Beautiful. But she was able to, I just remember she made amends and she was like, look, we're good. Like you, if you're happy, I'm happy. And they were able to share the space. And what happened after that, I don't know. Let's ask them. But,
well, she lived there for, I believe, 28 years, Kat, you know?
Yeah.
So that was amazing.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
as she said, Mrs. Spencer was the ghost, I believe. I really don't have anything else to say. Do you for this evening? I think I've said more than enough. People know too much.
They know a lot. They know a lot right now. We could go on to what the bleep moment if you want, but you did, you had a lot of what the bleeps tonight.
I've had an overabundance of what the bleep moments, honestly. Goodness,
yeah, really have. Yeah, well, I'll give a couple. And I don't it's just out of the blue. Let's see. Let me think.
So this happened where this was definitely a WhatsApp moment. It was a beautiful one where I think there was no space and time. It was when my one son was going to college and he was telling parents what he was doing. And I was watching them. And I was across the room, and I could see like a clear bubble around them. It was energy. It was just like a ball of energy around them. It was just as moving around, I could tell that it was in a different, something was happening where I felt it was like there was no space, there was no time. It was a reality that was happening in front of me, like a dual reality, yet I'm watching an actual reality, but how I felt was that I was just an observer there, and there was something that was just a moment in time that they were experiencing together that I was witnessing. Does that make
sense?
It does.
And I have a friend that lives locally. We first met when I was offering channeling classes in my home with another woman, and she came to one of my classes, and we've become the best of friends since that time. And with her, like, she and I go out, and sometimes when we come back and the sun is just beginning to set, we may, you know, she'll pull up in front of my house and we'll talk for a couple minutes, and then we morph into a past lifetime where we were sisters, and she, to me, looks like a few years younger than me, probably like about 16, and she has really blonde hair and freckles, and she told me I have like really dark hair and big brown eyes when we morph into the sisters we were in a past lifetime. And we had found out during that past lifetime, we were running. There was like an explosion, and I was telling my younger sister, come on, come with me, run. And she stopped for a moment. She turned around, and she got hit in the head with a steel beam. And that was the last time I saw her in that lifetime.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a little crazy. But we morphed.
Yeah.
Like when it goes down and we, you know, we're coming back to my house and we pull up and we look at each other and we start giggling because we can see what we looked in that past lifetime, what we look like. It was amazing. And happened like, my gosh, it had to have happened about 7-8 times already.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's really amazing. Yeah. You know, the deja vu too thing has always intrigued me, as well as the dual realities, which, you know, I've talked about before. But the deja vu still gets me to this day, like with all the ghost experiences or metaphysical, you know, and spiritual ones as well, obviously. But the deja vu, I know we've talked about it, still gets me where you're in a place where you've already experienced something that is happening at that time. And it just happened to me not too long ago. I know I shared it on one of our shows, but I was on a train and I kept getting these really good signs, you know, I'm seeing feathers, I'm seeing chains, I'm seeing the, you know, 777444, you know, numbers, like all the divine numbers. And but it was just a normal day. I'm just on a train heading somewhere, right? I believe it was DC. Anyway, so this woman sits down next to me, and I'm like, hi. I'm like, we just, you were here last time I was on the train. She's like, And I thought, okay, well, she doesn't remember me. And then she starts talking, and she's talking the exact same words conversation we had. And I said, are you sure you don't remember? Because we had, like, we were talking about the same thing. And she said, you know, she just, like, she didn't remember, but I knew something was weird was happening that I didn't understand. And then it wasn't until this guy came on the train. I remember exactly what he was wearing. I remember what he said. I remember where he was standing. I remember we had a short, brief conversation. Like, it was, I clearly had been there before. And it was, that was a weird feeling, I have to say. I mean, it was a cool experience. I'm glad that it happened. But you wonder why, like, what's happening. You know what I mean?
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I've had, like, similar experiences myself, you know, where I met my husband, you know, before I met my husband. And it even happened, like, with family members of his that I knew who they were before I met them because I felt like I met them before, you know. So it is really crazy because whether it's a place that you visited or a person like you had just mentioned, you know, we had
right.
that deja vu experience where we've already been through this, but yet here we are, you know, now in this present reality and we're going through it again. So it is,
right.
It's weird. Like, it's a weird feeling because we know that, hey, we've already done this. We can recall words as you did. You remember the conversation. You recognize
yeah.
the people. And that's really like a really strong deja vu experience, you know?
The conductor, like everything. It was wild.
Yeah.
But I just thought that's...
The weird thing is, too, like... deja vu normally happens to people who are between the ages of 15 to 25 years old, you know?
Well,
and
those experiences
seem to decrease progressively with age, you know? So it's just really, really strange, you know?
I had it, like, this year, huh? So... I'm not going to bring
yeah, no,
feel
it's,
my
it's
age,
crazy,
but
yeah.
I'm much older than that.
Yeah.
So, but you hear about it a lot, you know, when you, like it was Shirley MacLaine. She used to just be able to tell people where to go, like she had never been there. And she said she knew where she was going, like in a different country type of thing. Yeah, so that was my... another like what the bleep moment but now we're at the part of the show we're going to do an card reading for the collective, and I did pull two cards, and interestingly enough I did pull from the Angel Abundance card first, right, and then something made me pull another card, but this one it coincides with synchronistic DC with your channeling of Jedediah, who talked about like just going to for help with transition, whether it's a relationship or career or whatever it is that people are looking for to fulfill themselves and you know, be happy, and just to call upon him for help. And so the card that I pulled was have the courage to ask for and accept help. And it says asking for help is a sign of strength, as is accepting it is as if you know, when it's offered to you. So very often when we ask God for help, for instance, prayers are answered through other people. You know, loved ones are, you know, our spirit guides are just, you know, or divine family, you know. But God, Jesus, Mary, or Sam Hailings, like there's so much help out there. you know, or angels or saints, everyone, but this card indicates be sure to accept the assistance as well as give it to others as you're guided, which is what, you know, we do and what you're guided to do tonight with this angel. So that just I thought was synchronistic. And then I pulled another card, and this evasion, and this card has come up a couple times, but this literally fell out of the deck tonight. And it says, learn experiences, wisdom transmission, and earth intelligence. It's Gaia Gateway Activation. And I love this card for listeners because it's a great card. It says, the Gaia Gateway is the chakra that connects us directly with the mind and intelligence of Mother Earth. And we were talking about nature tonight, correct? This chakra is not very well known, but it is now being acknowledged as one of the key energetic spaces we can connect with to activate the ascension process. And it says, for many years, ascension has been thought of as moving beyond the limitations of the body and transcending into the physical realm. But in fact, the process of becoming present body is full awareness of the spirit within. The Gaia Gateway is found below our feet under the earth star chakra. So when we're connecting to it, it's best to imagine it in the center of the earth. So our earth chakra is literally just, I believe, like a couple inches under our feet, right? Like into the earth. You imagine like roots coming out of the bottom of your feet connecting. So this particular one is further like, imagine going into the center of the earth. And the best way to describe it is as a wormhole or portal in the center of the earth that allows us to connect directly with the non-physical intelligence of Gaia, the spiritual presence of planet Earth. The Earth is a highly spiritual, intelligent, aware being. She has lived through many challenges and experiences that have led her to where she is today. So no matter what has been served up to her or how many of us have mistreated her, she has found a way to survive and thrive. And that's also synchronistic with Ariel too, right? So to connect, you can just visualize yourself sending deep roots into the center of the earth. And when you get as far as you can go, a portal will open up and connect you with the matrix of Gaia's wisdom. At that point, be open to receiving a direct transmission from her. So that is something that, Gaia's with, this card represents that Gaia's with us all now. And we are definitely better for it. So that was that.
That's absolutely beautiful, Kat. That's amazing. I was just sitting here, and while you were speaking, I looked at the time. And in regard to the time, I got a message, and the message that went with the time was about financial abundance or success in your professional life. And this is a reminder to remain humble and focused on your goals, that you'll be rewarded in the near future. So that sounds awesome, right?
Nice. Yes.
And Ginger saying, pennies from heaven, ladies, and it's not chump change.
I love it.
Yeah. What a great show tonight, Kat.
That certainly was.
That was.
Well, thank you for everything. I want to thank all the listeners. But yeah, that was a beautiful show. I think we learned a lot.
it was very informative. I do believe that, you know. Really, really beautiful.
Yeah, I still learn things from this show, you know. And again, DC and I, we don't always, we talk all the time, but we don't always know what the other is going to say during the show. And so for things to be so synchronistic constantly is just, you know, it just shows again that this is the path that we are supposed to be on. And, you know, the heavens are lining up, you know, for us to help you as well. So, you know, to continue on with your spiritual journey. And the things that we talk about are just things to think about and to try, and you'll decide, you know, what works for you. And if you, you know, you want to believe too, you know, your thoughts, your words, your, you know, you are very important as well as these spiritual practices. Because the more that you are disciplined, you know, in terms of really, you know, all things of, you know, just, you know, releasing and letting go and letting God, which isn't always easy, but, you know, that's why I do it twice a day, because I know it's, you know, if something happens, I'm just like right out there, or I'm just as somebody like just blindsides me, you know, with something, or to somebody else. Like, I just, it still affects us, right? So, like, I'll clear that energy right away. So, you know, learn how to clear your energy. Maybe, DC, we can have a show on that sometime. But it was just, it was a very enlightening show, I believe, for everyone. So, thank you.
I do, too. And I just want to remind everyone that, you know, the divine is all about love and not about anything else. They don't care about anything else. So they want to help, yeah. You know, they want to help you, and it has nothing to do with who you are, what you do. They're always there to help you.
Yeah.
And I just feel that's so important, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Kat. I just, it was amazing, truly amazing.
Thank you. It's always wonderful. So, all right. Well, thank you, listeners, and I hope that you enjoy the show and tune in next Monday at 7 o'clock Eastern time, and, you know, see you then. In the meantime, God bless, and thank you again. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.